Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the H2 FY 2026 earnings conference call of Ocell Devices Limited. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements do not guarantee the future performance of the company, and it may involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. We have with us from the management, Mr. Rajendra Ravishankar Mishra, Managing Director, Mr. Mukesh Kumar Sinha, Whole-time Director, Mr. Deepankar Goshal, Chief Executive Officer. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Deepankar Goshal. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon to all, and thank you for joining us today. To give a small brief about the company, our company operates across three distinct high-growth industries: LED display, hearing aids, and mobile devices. With full ownership of the value chain from design and R&D through manufacturing and quality certification, all the way to installation, after-sales, and now clinic-led retail. Now, what makes Ocell structurally different is the combination of three things that are hard to replicate. Together, since we hold the U.S. FDA registration, ISO 13485, CDSCO MD5, second, recurring revenue, our proprietary CMS platform and SFL clinic network means we are not purely dependent on hardware sales cycles. And third, and forward integration, we are not just a manufacturer supplying someone else's brand. We are moving into the highest value endpoint in each vertical. In financial year 2026 was a strong year. Revenue grew 56.9% to 292.7 crores. EBITDA expanded 57.9% to 53.3 crores at a margin of 18.2%. And profit after tax grew 45.7% to 29.2 crores. Importantly, this growth was not concentrated. All the three verticals contributed, and our export revenues crossed 23 crores. We are looking forward to our JNPA SEZ hub with commercialization expected from April 2027. This will significantly expand our exports and OEM capacity from India's business port. With SEZ tax benefit combined with our US FDA registration, unlocking the US hearing aid market. We believe the next phase of growth will be both large in scale and higher in quality of hearing. Thank you.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question comes from the line of Pratiti Khara from Param Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Yes.
Hi, sir. So I just wanted to clarify a financial aspect. In our September cash flow statement, I could see a line item which said increase or decrease in short-term borrowings, which was classified under cash flow from operating activities. This was around 50-odd crores in the year for September 2025. Ideally, short-term borrowings is classified under financing activities. So if that was the case, the operating cash flow would be negative 40 crores instead of positive 10 crores, if that is right. So just wanted to know your thoughts on the same.
Hi.
So this came into our understanding as well, and I think in the current financials, we have rectified this. And the new financials are based on these parameters only.
Okay, all right. And what was the reason of whatever was raised in the IPO, which was raised under working capital terms, is now being drawn down as CC line of 30 crores instead of in front of that, and has been invested, that money that was raised in the IPO is invested in the mutual funds and shown under investing activities. So why is that the case? Why weren't we using that money directly for working capital?
So at that instance, when the money was raised, basically we raised it for working capital, and the working capital requirement is not always exactly the same amount. So at that particular time, we had to park the funds, and we parked it into mutual funds. And then we have taken up limits against that mutual fund, which gives us the interest arbitrage is anyway happening. So it is not costing us anything, and that gives us a leverage of utilizing funds as and when required. And when it is idle, it is anyway earning from the mutual funds.
Okay. So
So
going
that was
ahead,
the
this line
utilization
item
that we
will
found.
be in financing activity, right?
Correct, yeah.
Okay. Thank you. That's it from my side.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question comes from the line of Nishita Shankalesha from Sapphire Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello. So I just wanted to understand what is the reason our interest cost is like almost double in H2 FY26, and what is the steady state interest cost that we can see? Like our debt has also increased quite a lot, so.
I am sorry, you were not very clear.
I just wanted to understand. Am I audible now?
Yes, you're audible, yeah.
Nishita, I would request you to use your phone on the handset mode in case if you are on a hands-free mode.
Sure. So am I audible right now?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to understand why is our interest cost almost double in H2 FY26, and on a steady state basis, what sort of interest cost can we see going forward?
Okay. Interest cost might have doubled, which is shown in the books. One, of course, we have taken funds against the mutual funds. So interest is anyway incurring, but the mutual fund earnings are not shown in the books because it will come when the mutual funds are closed. So that is an additional interest that we are incurring right now. And of course, our working capital limits also have increased, and so the interest cost is there, which is added to it. Going forward, we are anyway working on these terms, and we are trying to basically improve our working capital utilization. Instead of just utilizing cash credit from there, we are trying to convert into LC and other terms, which will basically reduce our interest terms. So we'll be better utilizing the funds and limits available to us.
Okay, understood. And another question would be on CapEx. Are we looking for any CapEx in FY27? If so, how much would be the amount and what will be the CapEx for?
As we have mentioned, we have a project for JNPA wherein we are trying to set up our own manufacturing hub. So this will certainly be requiring CapEx and all those things. We are working on that. We have recently received the LOI for it, and we are working on it. Once we have the complete clarity on it, we will know the numbers that would be required for the CapEx in that.
Right. So, like, what is the update on this project? Where are we at right now?
So we have recently, last month itself, we have got the LOI from the JNPA, which is the allotment and all those things. Now we are already working on the project. Project is being prepared. So once everything is done, we will know the actual cost that we need to incur in that project and the timelines. And accordingly, we will have clarity on that.
Okay, understood. And my next question is on, like, we've done around 57% of revenue growth in FY26. So going forward, what sort of growth do we see in FY27 and FY28, and even on our margins, like, is the 18% margin sustainable for long term?
Right. So in terms of business growth and all, we are growing in a good way, and all the three verticals that we have been working with is doing good, and they are increasing. Philips vertical has just started last year itself, and it has contributed well. and we are expecting it to grow much faster and much further actually. So yes, we will be maintaining this growth rate and maybe we can better it from here. And in terms of EBITDA margins, we are expecting it to be similar or even better because we are also entering into retail of with SFL acquisition. We are also getting into the retail acquisition, retail business of hearing aids, which is high margin business. So we are expecting both growth and EBITDA margins to get better from here, at least for next 4 or 5 years.
Right. So on retail front, like, are we going to see any revenue contribution starting from FY27?
Yes, the acquisition of SFL is already doing some revenue in terms of like 26-27 crores. I'm sure they're closing last year. And we are going to improve from there. So that revenue is already available to us, which we have not considered in this year's balance sheet. But from next year, it will be considered to us. So that contribution is going to come anyways.
Okay. Understood. Yeah, thank you.
A reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question comes from the line of Achyut, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. First question is, I'm new to this company, sir. First, I want to understand, like, regarding mobile side, are we manufacturers, sir, or assembler, or trading mobile phones, sir?
Okay. So, technically, we are licensed to manufacture mobile phones from Philips. And we are doing the end-to-end business of this from manufacturer to final retail sales. And in current scenario, we have outsourced our manufacturing to another company, which is into mobile phone manufacturing. And once the scale is big enough and stable, and that's when we want to get into our own manufacturing and we want to basically invest into our own manufacturing setup. Right now, we are outsourcing the manufacturing, which is done by a third party.
Okay, so how much is the margin on mobile phone business, sir? Because you are outsourcing, what is the margin on mobile phone business, sir?
We are not outsourcing mobile phones as such. We are outsourcing the job work. So we are anyway giving them just the job work payments for that. But margins that we have in terms like I would just say a phone, basic phone that we are selling is costing us around 650 to 657 rupees, and then our distributor sales price or our realization is around 850 rupees on that. So almost the margins are good, around 25-30%, I guess.
So are you selling basic mobiles, sir? Like the cost is very less.
We started with safe things basically. We wanted to play safe. So we started with the keypad phones rather, which is called feature phones in the market. And we started with that. And once we had a stable sale coming up for that, we started with our smartphones as well. And from March onwards, our smartphone shipment has already started. So we have entered into smartphone market as well.
Okay. And if in the current financial year, how much percentage of revenue you are planning to make the mobile phones, sir? And in the long term also, what is your goal, sir? Like, you want to focus more on hearing aid or you want to become a major mobile phone manufacturer? What is the thought process in the future?
Okay. So that's a difficult question to answer, which one we want to prefer more, because all the three segments are important to us and they have different pros and cons, of course. So when it comes to mobile phone, of course, the value addition of mobile phone will grow because it's a large market and mobile phone market is very large. The smartphone market is 4 lakh crore plus and feature phone market is around 10,000 crore plus. So, of course, it will have a larger contribution in the top line of the revenue. But when it comes to actual bottom line and profitability, hearing aid is where our most favored product is basically because the margins are very good in hearing aids. And we have less competition in terms of available competition in the market. So hearing aid is our favorite in terms of profitability and mobile phone will become favorite in terms of top line. And LED basically will give us the reach that we need in the corporates and other places. So technically, all three verticals have important role to play.
And sir, you told that you started smartphone manufacturing since March of this year. So if it is possible, can you mention which customer you are tied up, sir? Are you tied up with any major mobile phone company, sir, or local one?
No, no. So we are doing Philips smartphones. So we are doing Philips brand smartphones. So we have the brand license from Philips. So you can consider us to be Philips in India for this mobile phone category. So we are not manufacturing for anybody else. We are manufacturing on the brand of Philips for our own consumption and sales, not for any third party.
Okay. Okay. And do we have any targets, sir, this year? How many number of units you would be manufacturing?
So we are creating, and we have created our own network of dealers and distributors. And that's where the feature phone market has already started, and smartphones are also going through that. And so far in last year, we have reached around 4.5 lakh plus mobile feature phones into the market, which will continue to grow here. And we are expecting good numbers this year also. So basically, when it comes to smartphones and feature phone, the phone segment will have a bigger growth in this year.
Okay. And last question, sir, what is the guidance for FY27
guidance? So as we mentioned, basically we'll continue a similar set of growth that we have achieved this year. So, and in fact, in both the terms, in terms of EBITDA, in terms of top line, we'll be bettering what we have done this year.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Dipanshu Bhatia with FinWiz. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hello, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, please.
Yeah. So congratulations on like really decent growth of 57%. So I can see the two major segments that your company has. When, I'm tracking the company for the first time. So the two major segments, one is the hearing aids, second is the LED screens, and third one is the smartphone manufacturing that you are starting. So coming on to the first two segments, it seems like hearing aid is more certified, technologically embedded, and a higher margin category for the company. So two questions on that sector. Is export a big part of our revenue on the hearing aid side? And if I see for the next 3 years on the hearing aid, where will the major revenue growth come from? Is it like deeper integration inside India, or looking at other export markets, or like selling higher order hearing aids over time?
Right. So hearing aid, of course, as you understood it well, that is a more profitable and high margin product. And it has got less competition because it has entry barriers in terms of technology and development and research. So we certainly stand out in this area, basically, especially in the country. Internationally, we have competition from the big brands. They are well-established brands in the international domain. They are called Big Five and other things. So, yes, we are going to strengthen our margins and business primarily in India for hearing aids, because India is an undertapped market. We only have less than 3% of penetration with a total TAM, and the penetration is only 3%, less than 3%. People who are actually needing to use hearing aids and people who are actually using hearing aids, that is less than the 3% of the market. So as per the data, around 88 million people in India would need hearing aids, which is 8.8 crores. But total sales of hearing aids per year is less than 8 lakh, 9 lakh units. This is an approximate numbers, basically. So there is a huge market to be tapped in India, and we are targeting to do that itself, basically. So we, with that intent only, we have already acquired SFL. SFL is basically the audiologist clinic, which basically dispenses hearing aids to the end user. The actual patient or actual consumer of the hearing aid are being dispensed from there. So that is where our retail journey is going to start with. And of course, their margin will be much far better than what we are taking today on the hearing aid side of it.
Okay. So today there are 8 to 9 lakh hearing aids sold. How much percentage does we have in this overall Indian market sale today?
See, we are currently supplying majorly to wholesale market and government tenders, basically, which forms a larger part of it, but low priced, basically the ASM, what you call the average selling price of each unit, is very low in these segments.
We are not dominant in the B2C as of today.
B2C, we have not yet started, I would say. In terms of government, we are the largest supplier to the government of India.
Okay, but not private. For that, you have done an acquisition, right? So that you can penetrate so private, into the. So what is the footfall of this subsidiary? The how many people visit them every year? Unique people, so that we can see how we can expand.
So far, what we have seen, they were established in 2014, and they currently have around 100,000 plus customer database basically that they have catered to, and that's what we have to build on basically. So.
Okay. So it's kind of you have to build on that because 100,000 is like a less small number, but it's a good start. Okay. So on the second front, on the
so LED basically, front, it's good for us. I will just give you a basic explanation here. It's good for us because see what we sell to government, our selling price is around 2,500-3,000 rupees per unit.
Yes.
But
yes.
The average selling price in these clinics are 35,000-40,000 rupees per unit.
So the same product or some
that's where the differentiation comes in.
Upgraded product, not the same product.
So hearing aids, basically, if we see in the multi-brand segment, it goes up to 4.5-5 lakh rupees per unit. That is the potential and possibility of hearing aids, basically.
And we have all the abilities to manufacture any version, like the higher version or the higher version, right?
Not exactly. I would not say that. We are currently ready with the entry-level segments, and we are at par with any good brand. In terms of entry-level segments. So that is where we want to start targeting.
So 20 to 35K segment.
Kind of, yes.
Yes, okay. And the LED segment. So on the LED segment, our primary profit driver, is it the sale of the LED or the recurring revenue through the platform management of advertisement? The profit, the chunk of the profit comes from LED or the service?
So far it is LED sales only. Because our platform, the content management system platform that is basically working as a SaaS application has been launched last year itself in the current year. So we have onboarded 300 plus locations in that right now. And we are expecting to do it in next 2-3 years. We will be expecting to reach out a targeted numbers of around 100,000 units for this.
Okay.
And that's so when the revenue would have
started.
That just started. So we have already onboarded a good bank. A good national bank basically is already our customer base, and we are increasing on that. A chain of malls is already our customer onboarded on that. So we have just started with this, and we are expecting that once we reach 100,000 numbers or even 50,000 numbers, it will be contributing very well in our revenue segment. Because it is a monthly SaaS model, so there will be monthly recurring revenue coming in from that.
Okay, in the presentation you said 700 to 800 per month. So 50,000 means like 3 to 4 CR month might be.
Kind of.
In that case, right? Right now, till today it's a small sample size, but is it working well? Do you think that they will keep it for 5 to 10 years, this contract? The monthly charge
That's why I mentioned that one of the top banks in the country has already been onboarded, and banks will not let you in with any application unless it is very well established.
And do you have a long-term agreement, or you just expect that they will continue for 10 years?
No, we have long-term agreement with that because we are doing all the we are doing the digitization of all their branches basically. So they have around 800 to 2,000 branches which we are increasing.
And just this last question, wherever you provide this advertisement service, it's compulsory you have your own LED or you can provide on any other LED systems also?
No, our application can work with any application, so you can have your own LED or third-party LED segment also can work with this.
Okay. Cool. Thank you, sir. And that was the question.
Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Kailash Shah, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Am I audible?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So my question is around the cash flow statement and the financials which you have regrouped completely.
Sorry to interrupt, Kailash, you're not quite audible. Could you also move to a quieter location, please?
Hello? Am I audible now?
Much better. Please go ahead.
Yeah. So I just wanted to ask the question around the regrouping of the financials which we have done. I can see a significant part of the financials for the FY25 have been regrouped, especially the cash flow statement. So just wanted to understand what exactly has been the reason. I can see there are certain changes, like you have earlier included short-term borrowings in the cash flow from operations. It was looking something else, but now picture looks something else. And just wanted to understand, like, who is the CFO of the company taking care of the financials? So just a little bit background of the CFO also, please, if you can help us.
Sure. So basically, as we have already discussed in the first question, the reclassification has happened to correct the erroneous reporting earlier that has happened. So we have corrected that, and so the things have moved. I'm not a financial guy, but that's how things have been moving, basically. And so the reclassification has happened.
Okay. And like, what about the CFO background, if you can share, like, whether we have changed the management or what exactly it is, so that we can ensure, we can be sure of that these mistakes or these clerical mistakes, whatever we term it, will not happen going forward.
Right. So currently our CFO is MBA finance from a good institution with proper banking background, 10 years plus in banking sector itself. So that is there. And of course, in terms of financial reporting and all those things, we have our CA and other things also helping us out with this. And while we are also improving our financial accounting systems, things will be better, and we will try to avoid all these errors in future.
Okay. And do you think like any other changes yet to be reviewed from your end to further strengthen it? Like, because I can see the cash flow used to be much better earlier versions, like for the FY 2025 also. But with the, as we remove the cash flow from the borrowing, short-term borrowings, अगर हम हटा देते हैं तो एकदम से बहुत ही ज्यादा अभी negative हो गया था. So अभी तो FY 2025 का cash flow बहुत ही अजीब दिख रहा है. So like, अभी और कुछ changes करने बाकी हैं? You need to further strengthen in the financials, or you have done a detailed exercise that कि okay, this is the best policy we are now adopting.
नहीं, काफी improvements होंगी, even in terms of our operations and all those things will also improve. Now that we have already been building up our team, अभी पहले, of course, we were just a small startup kind of a company. Now we have building our team also. New set of experienced people are joining in, and they have already joined in. We have new CEO on board also. So things will improve from here. So we are going to get better only, which is expected from us. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for the chat. Okay.
The next question comes from the line of Nishita Shanklesha from Sapphire Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes. Thank you for taking my follow-up question. Am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Yeah. So you mentioned that like our hearing aid segment has much better margins. So is it possible for you to give us a segmental margin breakup, if possible?
I think we can reply this with mail or something like that, because I might not have the actual numbers right now. But in terms, if you ask me holistically, yes, out of all these three products, hearing aid has got the best top line, bottom line in terms of profits and all those things. Hearing aid is, because it's a medical device, and with the retail coming in, our margins will get much better from there.
Right. Okay. And my next question would be, so you mentioned that currently we just have entry-level products for hearing aid. So are we planning to like move up the segment? Like, are we planning to go towards mid-range of products or something like that?
Yes. So we have our in-house R&D team, which is continuously working on the product development and enhancement of the product and new product launches, basically. So of course, we have just started up, and we intend to become one of the top companies, one of the top brands in hearing aid segment internationally as well. So we certainly are going to bring in new products and enhance products into the market.
Right.
And also, when we say we have the entry-level product right now, so entry-level product also, what we are saying is, technologically, for basic needs of hearing, we are quite well-versed with the product, and we are at par with the international brands as well when it comes to the entry-level and, of course, the basic models. But high-end features like more of AI and other things, which is not the mandatory feature required for a hearing aid. That is where we still have to work on.
Okay, okay, understood. And I just wanted to understand, with the acquisition of SFL, so that will be our retail leg for hearing aid. So in that, are we going to sell only our brand products, or are we going to sell other brand products as well?
Right. So see, all these clinics basically, like SFL, they are multi-brand centers. Based on the customer needs requirement, because single product does not fit everybody. So everybody have a different need and requirement, and that can be served from a different product segment actually. So they are mostly multi-brand, and we intend to keep it multi-brand itself so that we don't lose any revenues as such on this. And once we have the multi-brand product range, the customer footfall will be better. And that will help us sell our product also and pitch our product also to the same consumer base. So we want to be with the multi-brand thing. Mukesh, if you have to input something into this.
So I think you have correctly mentioned, so we are intend to be multi-brand, but the new addition would be our own product that is coming very soon. So we would be able to give the complete access from like entry level to the premium level. So that is the biggest advantage.
Okay, understood. And currently we are at 42% of revenue mix from hearing aids. So after the consolidation of SFL, do we see that increasing?
Okay, so here what will happen is, of course, hearing aid, SFL will be contributing more to it. But at the same time, our LED segment and mobile segment is going to grow much faster and much bigger. So the overall contribution will shrink when it comes to hearing aid in terms of percentage of overall sales. But yes, in terms of bottom line or the PAT margins, which you say, will be better contributed from hearing aid side of it.
Right. So revenue mix will remain similar to what it is right now.
And in fact, I would say the revenue mix would basically tilt more towards mobile phones, then LEDs, and then hearing aids. We are expecting higher numbers from mobile phone sales.
Right. So if that is the case, then we can see some pressure on our margins, because hearing aid is our better margin segment. Is that understanding correct?
Correct. That is correct, basically. But at the same time, with SFL, if you are making 30% margin or 35% margin in hearing aid with our government sales, the same product we would be selling at double the price or more than that in our retail sector. So even little contribution in top line from hearing aids will actually contribute more heavily towards bottom line in the overall things. So that bottom line will not shrink.
Okay.
Am I able to answer you correctly here?
Yes. Thank you so much for answering all the questions.
Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Rajesh, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, Rajesh.
Thanks for the opportunity. I was a bit late to the call, so some of the questions might be a repeat. Apologies in advance for that. I have three questions basically. First is, how is JNPA a place for growth, and what are the segments that we are targeting here?
Okay, so JNPA is basically, it's an industrial land that we have got from JNPA authority in Navi Mumbai. It's basically a port in Mumbai. And we are trying to set up our manufacturing hub. It will be an SEZ. SEZ means we will be away from tax, GST and import duties from there. Custom duties will not be acquiring there. So that we are targeting for international customers. We want to improve our export business, and we want to target international customers in North America, Middle East and Africa. And we are trying to create a setup here. It will basically manufacturing, logistic hub, and warehousing. This will basically cater to these different international markets, and we expect to have better margins, more revenue coming up from these places. So it will be additional revenue that will come on, and it might be better than what we are currently doing in the domestic market.
Got it. So what all segments are you targeting from this place?
From JNPA?
Yeah.
See, majorly it will be LED business, because everyone is looking for China Plus One. and this gives us, this location gives us a strategic advantage wherein we are not incurring any import duties, taxes and all. And so what we can do is we can cater to the China Plus One customer who are looking for outside China manufacturing. They can always come to us. And we are also in talks with multiple Chinese manufacturers who can basically, whom we can tie up and we can produce in that location for their customers as well.
The OSIS facility, wherein we have a lot of advantage in terms of tax saving, etc., duties, etc., what would be the price difference or what would be the cost advantage then we would have versus a Chinese peer?
In terms of cost advantage, it will be at par with what China would be doing, because our raw material would still come in from China or other sources, which is currently the same. But in terms, it will not be incurring any cost in terms of domestic logistics and local taxation and other things. So it will certainly have better cost advantage compared to domestic manufacturing.
Okay, sir.
Because logistic cost is much cheaper. We are at the port. So being at the port saves lots on logistics as well. And also it will be speed of transformation basically. So being at the port, our export will be much faster. And import will be faster as well for raw materials. So overall, it is giving us a lot of advantages in terms of local domestic manufacturing also. And also with the new budget, we can actually export to India as well at lower tax rates. So anybody currently importing from China will have a disadvantage compared to us, because we will be able to give the same product for their imports, but at a better duty, import custom duties. So even the domestic sales will also be basically, domestic importers who are importing from China currently can import from us as well at a lower import duty rate.
Got it. This is very clear. So my second question is, how has the mobile phone segment progressed, and can you explain our penetration strategy in different markets that we are targeting?
Okay. Mobile phone is doing well. We just started 6-7 months back onto that. And we already have around 200 plus distributors in that, and we have reached around 13,000 plus touch points in terms of retail outlets and shops and all those things that are there onboarded with us. So that is doing good. We started with feature phone, which is basically more into rural areas and tier 2, tier 3 cities. We are doing good there, and with the Philips brand, the acceptance is very good. And also in terms of product feedback, we have got very positive feedback about the product that we have launched in. And now with the smartphone, we are also trying to get more visibility in the market, basically. And we will be targeting online sales as well. So that would soon happen once we have first 1-2 lots within the distributor network and consumed in that. Then we will be going into online sales as well, which will give us more visibility in terms of actual users. So currently, we are targeting our network, improving on and increasing our network base, which will help us with that.
Got it. And how significant would be the export opportunity here in mobile phones?
Currently, with the agreement that we have with Philips, export is not there in that. We are targeting Indian market itself.
Okay. Got it. So my third and last question is, can you explain a bit granularly regarding how SFL would help us increase the margins?
See, SFL is a retail business. And hearing aid, as we mentioned in current scenario, what we are doing with hearing aids is we are supplying to government segments, and obviously where the margins are lower for us compared to other products. And but the moment we get into retail, our sale prices will increase further. So just an example, what I'm selling currently for 2,500 rupees, I will be able to sell it for around 4,500, 5,000 rupees. Numbers will not be as big as the numbers that we are selling into government segment right now. But whatever number comes in, the margins will be much better, or maybe doubled or tripled actually from the current system.
Okay. So those were my questions. Congratulations on the result, and I'll get back in the queue if I have any follow-up. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question comes from Rohit with RMS Growth Fund. Please go ahead.
Hi, Raviji. I hope I'm audible.
Yes, please.
Yeah. So firstly, congrats on a good set of numbers and achieving almost 60% year-on-year growth. I have three questions. I'll just start with a clarification. Since you mentioned you can do better and your growth last year are at least as good, can we assume that you can do, you know, north of 500 crore top line in FY27, given you closed at around 300 this last year?
If the math suggests so, we will be able to do that.
Okay, great. So just a couple of questions. I think you had made a, you had, you know, published a few hires that you had made, I think, sometime in February. One of them was Mr. Captain Vivek, I think, who was going to look more after the government and defense segment. Can you tell us a little bit more about that? What, you know, prompts you guys to go after the segment? What is your strategy here? And have you, do you have any updates on this?
So up till last year, we did not actually have a sales team, which I have mentioned multiple times in my previous calls and meetings. So we have started building our team actually, and which is more business focused. So we have very good hirings in December, January, and which we gave. So we have, now we have a strong team, especially with Captain, comes from a defense background. He was serving in army himself basically. And after that, he was into private sector at more important positions with the government licensing and other things. So we are expecting good defense business coming in from him. He's already meeting up with the clients in defense, basically different defense sectors. So he will be spearheading our defense business, especially with LEDs are being used in command centers, basically in even the outward posts. They are using those command centers for monitoring everything at the borders. So the defense has got good requirement for our LED products. So he will be responsible for it.
Understand. And do you have any business already from this segment? Or do you have any like order wins, or is there any, you know, pipeline that you have in this segment?
So far, if you see, we already have a client base which is very well versed with this basically. We have IMA in Military Academy as our customer. We have Naval Academy as our customer. We have Air Force as our customer. We have certain outposts in defense that we have already done our implementation. In terms of DRDO is my customer. DRDO is already utilizing our things. He's a customer. ISRO is a customer. So we are anyway very well already into that. But they are segmented numbers. So now with Captain Vivek coming in, we will be more focusing on defense businesses. And we are expecting, because we already have a pre-qualification and customer base and experience with that, and without doing much sales into it actually. So now with the outreach program, which is led by Captain Vivek, we are expecting good business from the defense.
Understand. And I think I don't know if this was covered earlier, but your H2 to H1 revenue was, you know, at an overall level was flattish. So was there any impact? Did you guys have any impact because of the war, or was there any revenue deferment that, you know, caused you guys to close somewhat flattish H2 to H1?
There were certain logistic delays, of course, because there too, because of war, the logistics are anyway getting delayed. And of course, because we are into electronic industries, electronic supply chain has also been disturbed actually. So yes, we did got delayed with certain revenue which could have been in March itself, but we had to book it in April actually. So there were delays in tunes of 25-30 crores which we could not basically achieve in our past year.
Understood. Okay, thank you. That's all I have.
Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Ankur Agarwal with Motozac LLP. Please go ahead.
Hi, my first question is, out of 29 CR of PAT we did last year, how much money have we received that was outstanding? And which customers, you know, have what kind of credit period that we give to them?
Okay, so I will not be able to answer exactly to these numbers. But yes, we majorly have government, corporate customers and our partners, which is basically system integrators when it comes to LED and all. And as I mentioned earlier in my last call also, we are trying to move from being a direct-to-customer sales to partner-driven sales. So we have major sales through partners, which is happening. And that's where our major sales are happening now. So we only are targeting to have large customers. Yeah, please.
Yeah, sorry, sir. Sir, I just wanted to have a rough idea of, like, you know, how much of our money is outstanding for more than maybe 60 days, 90 days or something like? How much time it takes for us to receive our money?
In general, our terms, even with most of the corporate, will be within 90 days basically. But what happens at times, our LED business specifically is project-based business, which means we have to wait for site readiness and basically site approvals. All those things are required before we actually can do certain things. Even the supplies have happened, but the site is not ready. So implementation will take place. And once those things are done, then we will be able to invoice the customer. So even while it is a 90 days term with the customer, it might still get 120 days extension because the installation, we were waiting for installation and things up even after supply. So then the numbers would look different basically.
So sir, any bad debt as of now in the books?
We have not booked any bad debt as of now in the books, but we have certain in terms of some 10-12 lakh rupees so far, which is due for a longer period, more than a year's time, but otherwise everything is beyond within 6 months of time for us. But 10-12 lakhs is what we are struggling with. So we may try. We are trying to recover that.
Got it. Sir, and my second question is, like, you mentioned we sold around 4.5 lakh units in H2 mobile units. So can you tell me, do you also track what is the sell-through data from those distributors or dealers? I mean, how many mobiles were actually activated?
I can get the data and come back to you on that.
All right, sir. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, in the interest of time, we take the last question from Jaideep Ray, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes,
hello.
Go ahead, Jaideep.
Good afternoon, sir. Now, my question is, what is the current monthly mobile sales, can you tell?
We have already reached around 60,000 plus, 60 or 70,000 plus units, stable sales every month in terms of feature phones. Smartphone we have just added recently, so we will have some numbers for that in coming month to come. But for feature phone, the 60,000 plus is very comfortable for us now. Of course, every month is not the same number. Like Diwali will come, so numbers will certainly triple or four times will happen. But average out, if we say 60,000 plus numbers are there.
And your in your presentation, you are telling that your H2 mobile sales is around 4 lakh something, 4 lakh 5,000. It is H2 sales or total financial year sales?
So majorly, see, we started in September, August, September only for the sales. So major sales in S2 only. But it is total financial sales, yeah.
Because in September, till September only, we are, I think you sold around 20 crores to 25 crores of the amount.
Yes,
correct. Means same in second half also you sold same amount there. Of the mobile, you know?
Yeah, I think in second half, in total mobile sales, the number that I remember is around 55 crores.
55 crores. Okay. My second question is, in last phone call, you mentioned about some foreign LED partnership. You have done 20 crore around sales to foreign customers and told that the two pipelines are underway there. What is the current status and what is the future of this? Can you tell?
So basically in LED we have already added some OEM. OEM means we are talking about big brands for whom we are manufacturing our LED basically. So we are supplying to big brands with their brand name. So we are already doing that. Last year, we have done OEM sales in tunes of around 30 crores in total. And for LED, we have an export of around 10-12 crores in Vietnam and Singapore. So we have done that. Plus, we have had some export of hearing aids as well in Middle East and Middle East market. So that kind of exports. So in tunes of 23 crores, we have done in the exports last year.
Okay. And what will be the amount? Can you tell us this year, what will be the your target there?
So, of course, with the customer base increasing, we are expecting good growth in export sales also. So we should be doing, I should be easily achieving 50 crores in export sales this year.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Rajendra Ravishankar Mishra for the closing remarks.
Thank you everyone for joining in and being a part of OSL team. And with your support, we have been actually able to achieve all these growth, because without funds, without investor money, these growths, while it is available, but it is not possible. So thank you all for everything, for helping us with this growth. And for future also, we are very much positive about our growth, and we will continue to have similar growth that we have been achieving in the last few years, for at least next few years. And there will be continued growth in terms of development of new product, in terms of additional JNPA manufacturing hub, which will add good numbers to our actual balance sheet. So we will be working hard towards that, and we will be sharing progress with you in possibly in quarter. We are targeting to give you quarterly reports if possible, maybe from the third quarter of this year, and to give more transparency and visibility to our shareholders. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of OSEL Devices Limited, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.